Well, good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Happy Mother's Day. What a great, great day. I want you guys to open up to Philippians chapter 3. I have done Mother's Day messages on Mother's Day the last 2 years. And that's not a reason not to do one. But I was thinking, I guess I thought a couple things. I haven't done a Father's Day message, so I don't know what that means. But then I was thinking, how do I still give mothers something on Mother's Day, but not, you know, do a Mother's Day message 3 years in a row? And I thought, I could give you your time back. This topic is a topic that I could teach in a class for years. So I've got to figure out how to constrain myself. But my goal is to get us out of here early. A lot of you have time that you want to spend with your families today. That's my Mother's Day thank you to you this year. I said it, so now I have to stick to it. Happy Mother's Day. Moms rock. And I am a dad and a brother. I am so thankful for moms. So thankful. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained it or already have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you are worthy of our thanksgiving, a giving of thanks. Lord, we can do that in word, but you also want it in deed. And so we give you our lives as a living sacrifice. Thank you so much for what you have given us, and that we even have something to give to you in return, our lives. And we only have them because of you. Lord, life can be hard, but it doesn't have to be miserable. We can have peace. It's in Christ Jesus. We can have joy. It is in Christ Jesus. And we can have comfort. It is in you. And I thank you for the things that we do have while we're here, particularly our mothers and our sisters and our aunts, the opportunity to consider that today. And just to remember that all of it matters and that all of it counts if we reach forward to the goal of the prize, the upward call of Christ Jesus. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul says he presses forward to attain it. And in the context of that, he's largely referring to the resurrection of the dead. And none of us gets that until we die, or Jesus should come. But it's a distinguishing mark that's unique only to the Christian. That even if we should die in this life, that we are resurrected to life eternal in the heavens. And so Paul is saying, I haven't received that yet, but I'm going to go until I do. He says, I forget what lies behind and I press forward to what lies ahead. And so in that light, I want to cover a topic today that I'm super passionate about. And in some way, shape, or form or another, almost always comes out in every message. So I'll give us a couple stories here. When I was in my early 20s, I worked for a company, and I went to a leadership seminar, but it was just for our company. And it's kind of one of them deals where they rented a cabin in Driggs, Idaho, in the middle of winter. It was very pretty, and we just went and hung out and played games and just had this cabin and it was kind of like a team bonding thing. And one of the presentations that was given was on goal setting. And, you know, and then just a general encouragement. You guys have to understand that, like, attaining success is not difficult. You know, in life, whether it's financial independence or raising godly family or just being faithful, it always boils down to those who just do it and those who don't and make excuses. That's it. I mean, you wake up and you don't want to get out of bed, so then you stay in bed. You got the donut in front of you, and right now you've committed to not eating the donut, and then you do it anyway. Okay? It boils down to life can be split into two groups of people, those who just do it and then those who complain. And so this leadership thing was really talking about setting goals, but then having the willpower to get them done, the intestinal fortitude. I really jumped onto that message. And so I made 5-year goals, 10-year goals, 20-year goals. And the whole thing was how to take a 10-year goal, whittle it down to a 5-year goal, to a 1-year goal, to a monthly goal, to a weekly goal, to a daily goal, so that there is one little thing that if you do every day, you'll be where you want to go in 10 years. Sounds pretty good, right? Anybody want to go to heaven? Anybody interested in the one thing you could do every day that would make sure you're on the path to going to heaven? This stuff translates. So I come back home, download my fancy new checklist app. I've got all my goals whittled down to 20 little things I can do a day. You guys are already smiling because you see how this ends. 20 little things I can do a day, and I'm in my office showing my boss. I'm like, look, I'm at 18, I only got 19 and 20 left to go. And he goes, I could not live my life like that. And I was like, what are you talking about, man? I'm going to achieve my goals. He was like, dude, if I had a checklist, the only thing I would see are the 20 things I didn't get done that day, and I would feel like a failure. I was like, you would? Not me. I do all 20 every day. You guys ever burnt out? Oh, you're not laughing at yourselves. You're laughing at me. Okay. Don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever burnt out? Yeah. It happened to me this year. Not that I kept my 20 things a day. I gave that up. You know, I understood that there's more to life. But I tell you that story because that's my personality. I am a machine. You give me a project, and I will just crank and crank until it's done, and it's done right. That's my personality. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just who I am. So when I'm sitting in the office with my boss, like, to me, this is a no-brainer. And to him, he's like, already drowning, okay? I totally burnt out right around January this year. Just hit a wall. And I was thinking a lot about that. Because I've always been a willpower kind of guy. And I'm learning that our willpower needs to be transformed into our why power. Because you can't do this on your own. You aren't inefficient enough or righteous enough machine to do faith on your own. And you will burn out. You need to move a willpower mentality to a why power mentality. Why do I do this? Paul says he pressed forward, and his why was the resurrection of the righteous on judgment day. And that's his why. And that's what fueled him. The example that I heard recently, and this is going to be similar to other examples you've heard, so don't tune out. But it said, if I gave you a 30-foot-long, 10-inch board and asked you, you know, like in an opening with a kid's exercise, to walk across it, you would just walk across it. 10 inches is somewhat narrow. Some of us might not have the dexterity to do that, but that's not a terrifying thing. So then if I put that 10-inch-wide, 30-foot board up 100 feet in the air, would you do it? Most of us would say no. There's no good reason to. I mean, our egos aren't that big. Like, you could potentially die, and people think you were cool for 30 seconds. No thank you, right? But if that 30-foot board was connecting two buildings, and the other building was on fire, and your kids were in that building, how long would you hesitate between two opinions? I would run across the board. I would throw my life at anything that stared the lives of my kids in danger. And I would just throw this carcass down so fast. It does not matter. Because our why power will always be stronger than our willpower. And we've just got to figure out what our why power is. You guys already know it. And if you're still searching for it, the answer is in the pages of the written word of God. So I'm just merely here for your reminder, okay? If you turn on over to Galatians chapter 6, I did watch a movie one time. I always forget the name of it. Really appreciated some of the illustrations in it, though. The movie was about a high school basketball coach who's poised to have the best basketball season ever. And then the county redivides the county lines, and then they end up not having enough players on their team because their good players are now in a different district and they have to go to a different school. So the basketball season gets canceled. And everybody knew that they had the best team. They were going to win the championship. This was the year his son played basketball. He was going to be the starting guy. It was going to be great. And he ends up having no basketball team. And so the story is about him kind of going through an identity thing, because that's what comprised a lot of his identity, was being a basketball coach. So he ends up coaching the kids who run cross-country team. He ends up coaching the cross-country team. So he has tryouts, and one little girl shows up sitting on the bleachers. His cross-country team has one member, and she has asthma. She comes with her inhaler. I mean, it's one thing to get your basketball season canceled when you were going to win the state championship, and then now you're the track coach and your cross-country runner has asthma. Okay? Well, so he's kind of in the dumps about it, and he's got a bad attitude. So, but his wife says, hey, you know, don't forget, I signed you up to go visit the hospital tonight. See, they had a church sign-up sheet, and they signed up, and they took turns going down to the hospital and just sitting with people, because you go to the hospital, and it's lonely. So he goes there, gets assigned his room, sits down. This guy's blind and dying. Organs are shutting down, and he's just sitting there talking to him. He's talking to him, and you can tell he's frustrated. And it's interesting, because the guy who's dying in the hospital bed ends up encouraging the guy who went there who's supposed to encourage him, and that's sometimes how that works. He says, and so the guy in the hospital bed says to the cranky guy who's got the asthmatic track star, and he says, let me ask you something. If I was to say, who are you, what would you say? And so he kind of like, well, what do you mean? He's like, who are you? He goes, I'm a basketball coach. He goes, okay, and if I took that away from you, who are you? And he said, I'm a history teacher. He said, okay, and if I took that from you, who are you? He goes, I don't understand this exercise. He goes, I'm trying to work on something. Who are you? And he says, well, I suppose I'm a husband. And if that was taken away, God forbid, I suppose I'm a father. Okay, and God forbid that was ever taken away. Who are you? And he just keeps going. And then at like list 7 or 8, he goes, and if all of that was taken away in a real Job type sense, right? Who are you? And he goes, I suppose I'm a Christian. And so the guy says, how important is that? He says, what does that mean? He goes, it means follower of Christ. He goes, how important is that to you? He says, it's very important. And the guy in the hospital bed says, well, for a guy who claims to be a Christian, you're sure acting like you're not one. And so he gets all mad and he says, what are you calling me a bad Christian? He goes, no, that's not what I'm saying. But for this thing that's supposed to be super important, it sure was very far down your list. And so that gave him something to think about. You see, his whole world was crumbling. He's in the backyard, being grumpy, throwing the shovel around. He's being short with his wife, short with his kids, because the basketball season got canceled. That had become too much of his identity, hadn't it? And then when you strip that away, the next thing was history teacher, before father and husband. So that gave him something to think about. But it does speak to our why power versus our willpower. What is our why? You Christian? What does it mean? And how important is it? And where should it be on your list? It's supposed to be number one. And the cool part is you get to put that above your husband, your wife, and your kids. Because if you do it right, that's how you are the best husband and father and wife and mother and daughter. That's our why power. Galatians chapter 6... Verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. I got a tray of baked brownies one time from somebody I was Bible studying with this verse taped to the top of it. I mean, it was like 6-7 years ago, and it just made my day. In verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will reap. You sow corn, you're going to get corn. I have yet to see a pea plant come up from a corn seed. Okay? Now that is a law in this life to teach us that there are spiritual laws that are just as true. What you sow is what you reap. Right? If you, like, for instance, just off the top of my head, if you put, and I mean like all, if you put all your time in your business and not in your family, what kind of plant will grow? A business plant will grow, not a family plant. Does that make sense? What you sow is what you reap. So he says in verse 8, for the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. He's like, and he knows that the sowing and the harvesting, and it's like, man, you know, like some of them plants take like 80, 90 days just to come all the way around so you can harvest them. And he says, do not lose heart. You keep going, because in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. But there are two kinds of sowings in this life. Every day we are making choices that are either moving us closer to our goal through our Y power or further away from it. And the problem is when you sow to the flesh, you don't see the corruption right away. And when you sow to the Spirit, you don't see the fruit right away. That's why he says, just keep going. It'll be worth it. Don't grow weary. Don't quit. You guys know. I got my ongoing fight with them donuts on Monday morning at school. I ate 2 donuts this Monday. Texted my wife. Our Y power. The problem is, I ate those 2 donuts and nothing changed. So then I do it again next week. What if the moment you ate the second donut, you instantly gained 40 pounds? Would I stop eating donuts? That's how it works, right? Now, I'm not picking on anybody, right? But we all know that smoking cigarettes is not helping your health, but we do it anyway, right? What if that next cigarette you lit up was the one that gave you lung cancer? Do you see how sowing to the flesh works? You don't ever see the corruption in the moment. It is a thing that compounds over a long period of time. But so is sowing to the Spirit. So what I'm trying to leave you guys with today is, one, you have to have a clear picture of where you're going. But you've got to get your why power figured out. And if you're like me and you've been a willpower guy for his whole life, you got to shift your willpower to a why power. Find your why. And then understand that as you press forward and press on like Paul did and explained to the church in Philippi, it matters what you do every day. Now look, I want you to be financially independent and I want your business to grow, but I really want you to understand today that the thing that I'm particularly interested in is you making it to heaven. Because a Christian is a follower of Christ, and it's supposed to be number one on your list. And that's where I want your mind going today. This stuff translates. You can use it for goal setting in all different arenas of your life. But we're trying to make it to heaven, amen? And what you got to understand is it will boil down to the little things that you do every day. And if you are neglecting the sowings to the Spirit, you might not see it today and in a year, maybe even a couple years. But that 5th year will come around, and you will have been 5 years and you have not read your Bible. Because that happens to people. And it will be 5 years, and you will not be sleeping in the same room with your spouse, because you will not like each other if you are only sowing to the flesh. We don't see these things in the moment. They're just being annoying, so we just lash out. Or we're impatient with the kids, and so we yell. But it's the little things every day that matter, and they add up. The reality is the second donut doesn't put on 40 pounds. It's 2 donuts every Monday compounded over 5 years that puts on the 40 pounds. But our why power is what will truly drive us. I got a couple quotes I just want to leave you with. And And I'm going to finish ahead of what I thought. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been wanting to change. Maybe there's something, and I'm spiritually speaking here. Okay? Maybe there's something in your life you've been meaning to change for a while now. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been meaning just to work on. You've already got it. You've worked on it, but it needs more of your attention. And I heard this quote this week, and I wanted to share it with you. Because my roof leaks every time it rains. The cool part is it leaks in the bathroom, so it leaks right into the toilet. That's why I haven't fixed it. It's so awesome. I mean, there's silver lining and everything, right? Yeah. When it's raining, it is too late to fix the roof. And when it's sunny outside, the roof doesn't need fixing. Because it's not raining. I heard that and I was like, brethren, we've got spiritual goals we're trying to get to. And if you're trying to will yourself there, you're going to burn out. You got to get back into the pages of the New Testament and understand the love of God. That's your why. Now, you pick a verse, a theme verse. You pick a way to explain it that's different than me. I don't care. One of my big why verses is seek the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness. To me, if I'm doing those two things, I'm on a path that leads to heaven. You guys figure out what that looks like. Okay? But when it's raining, it's too late to fix the roof. And when it's sunny out, the roof doesn't need fixed. And we fall into these ruts. Even though that's the best time to fix the roof. It doesn't need fixing. So we're golfing. We're in the backyard by the campfire. Last thing I was going to leave you with. You will never change anything in your life until you change something you do daily. Let's stand. Happy Mother's Day. My gift to you, an extra 20, 25 minutes. If you got plans, to enjoy your plans, you can go home and relax, whatever it is. We appreciate you. I mean, the church is our mother, amen? And I say every year, it's not the dads that are making the church motherly. Okay? And so the guys get to learn a lot about what the church being our mother means. And we learn that because of the women here. We appreciate you guys. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much. Lord, you are, man, that psalm that was read today was so great. You made us. We didn't make ourselves. And we offer a thanksgiving. A thanks space giving. Meaning we are supposed to show up with something to give that shows our thanks. Well, we can't give you money. We can't give you products. We can't give you animals. You made it all. It's all yours. And so as was brought out by Mr. Schaefer, we can give you our lives as a living sacrifice. We can choose to trust your ways over our own ways. We can trust to go with your teaching over our own opinions and our own convictions. And that is a life that's pleasing to you. Just really encouraged today and hope that as we celebrate the moms that we all consider our ways, that we would press forward like Paul did to that resurrection body, Lord, as we understand that the little things that we do every day, oh, they matter so much. Let's think about what our why is and infuse it into our day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.